Hi, welcome to our podcast for today. Thank you very much for joining us. There's been so much going on in the last week or so, which really isn't really related to COVID-19, but it will have, I think, long-term consequences and ripples effect, one of our favourite kind of sayings in the complaint handling world, isn't it, Sarah?
It is.
Yeah. So we're having a chat today about the latest FCA guidance that was released on the 1st of May about its expectations on firms around handling complaints, which links quite nicely in with its business plan that it released a few days before that, and something that we've been picking up with on the fear, if you like, that businesses are displaying around falling foul of FCA guidance and how far they need to go to kind of satisfy the regulator. And also linked to that is a bit about, like, what is the ombudsman going to think about this in a few months time when we look back with our rose-tinted glasses on and the benefit of hindsight? Are we doing enough, I think, is one of the questions we've asked before, isn't it, in a blog we did last week?
Yes, so much to think about. I think it's where do you start, really? I guess we were looking at the complaints handling guidance that came out, and it's kind of business as usual, isn't it?
Very much so.
It's there
very
was
much
not,
so.
Yeah, there was no, we're going to not bend the rules. We're not going to adapt the rules. We're not going to change anything. But if you get stuck, get in touch.
Yeah, and I said to you, didn't I, earlier on, I was really struck by the tone of voice that the FCA were using when they were talking about this expectation that essentially they want businesses to run business as usual, get on with it and do everything in the way that they've always done to comply with DIS. And the thing that struck me was that bit about, you know, getting contact if you think that you're going to be non-compliant. Well, I think that sends a really stark message across the bowels of the industry that the FCA is not going to give any wriggle room because of what's going on with COVID-19. I think it expects businesses to show how resilient they are.
Yeah, I think it's a real balancing act, though, because you think about all the things that have been going on. So if you furloughed staff, you're going to have to then pull them back in.
Yeah.
You're going to have to redeploy staff at short notice, potentially. Potentially they've been furloughed as well. And you've also got the real practical not being able to measure with any real accuracy how many complaints you've got going to have coming through the door. At certain points in time, whereas within a little, you know, there's going to be seasonal stuff, you know, there's going to be sort of different products that are going to come out at different times of the year. We haven't got that this year.
No, and it was interesting because that podcast we did a few weeks back now with Nelly and WorkSmart, the audience were telling us about sort of the increase. There was generally an increase in the number of complaints that were coming through to them, which people seem to think is going to continue to go in an upward trend as customers kind of get back online and become less tolerant of the "we're really busy at the moment, you can't talk to us" type thing that has happened so far. So if you're trying to operate in that world where your resourcing is stretched, your people are doing work that they perhaps aren't that familiar with, but also you've got the regulator breathing down your neck to say you've got to get on with it and do it in exactly the same way as you have always done pre-COVID-19.
Yeah. It's a bit of a shit show, really, isn't it?
It's quite a thing, isn't it?
Well, there's no wiggle room. There's no allowances being made for the bigger context.
No, it worries me. Sorry, carry on.
No, you were saying it worries you.
No, it does. It worries me that I think that businesses will, you know, we had this again before where businesses were saying their priority was to satisfy their regulator above everything else. It was about satisfying the regulator. I do worry the language that the FCA has used will kind of reinforce that behaviour of you've got to kind of, you know, count the right number of beans to be able to show to the regulator so that they're satisfied the quality of what you're doing, you know,
I mean, it bears out that fear, doesn't it, really? I mean, when we did that podcast, it was fairly early on in all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh no, you need to, not need, but you really need to be looking at supporting your staff so you can do the other two. But the practical the practicalities of it and seeing the rhetoric that's been put out there, you can kind of see that that fear is actually grounded in the tangibles, isn't it? It's like, how are we going to adhere to all these rules and make sure we don't get bit in the backside weeks, months down the line once all this the dust starts to settle on this?
I can't imagine any business really ever wanting to put his hands up and say to the FCA, we can't meet it. I think it will be by hook or by crook, most businesses will want to operationally satisfy all the guidelines around timeliness and all those types of, the rules around timeliness.
Yeah.
Satisfy those. But that's, you know, you can do it at on a one-time push. Like, we've all done it before where, you know, you've got something you need to get done and everyone's like, hands on deck, all get it done. And then you can take a little bit of a breathe and then go back to normal. But this is not normal. So how do businesses sustain that for the next 3, 6, 9 months even?
12 months.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? There's no end date. There's no end goal. We don't know how long this is going to go on for. And we don't know what the long-term impact is.
No.
So it's a entirely movable feast. And although there's some businesses that have seen their numbers go straight up, depending on their product, others that are going to be some way down the track, theirs might spike at a different time. So within the financial service industry, the spikes are going to be all over the place. So people might come out the other side, others will be in it, others won't have faced it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hard to learn any lessons.
Yeah, but just because of the time lag between the different sort of sectors within the industry, I suspect, and their people's own customer population, like how resilient they are. So there's a massive thing at the moment around sort of financial resilience, isn't there? Just people's incomes being hit, not debt necessarily, but just people's incomes being hit. And then you're going to have the debt issue will really start to ramp up if this continues on for longer. So you can see certain parts of the industry are going to feel that first. But also we've heard about the insurance companies, you know, struggling a bit with some of the, particularly around SMEs and sort of business continuity insurance. So it's really starting to, I think, stretch the industry about what things like insurance are for. You know, when people rely on it, does it do, I suppose it's one of those things where the situation that we're in is that no one ever expected it, but then it doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't have a payout because no one foresaw it.
No.
Foresaw it? Saw it coming. Forsooth, yes. I'm going to go with Shakespeare.
But I think there's a very real prospect here that not every company is going to come out the back of this unscathed.
True.
It's, you know, you've not only have they got the FCA guidance on complaints handling, they also have to think about their resilience, they have to think about SMCR. There are so many considerations that they have sort of coming at them that I can imagine it's going to be quite a fearful time for them trying to keep motoring through this stuff. And let's face it, complaints are not, for many businesses, aren't the main focus, are they? They're trying to get business in, make money. Complaints are an unhappy byproduct. And I think when you look at what the FCA has also put out in their business plan, I think you're going to have businesses thinking, well, what do we do for the best?
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting, the size of the FCA's business plan this time around, a lot shorter than it would ordinarily be. It feels very kind of old school regulated to me, where the messaging that was coming out was very short, sharp.
Yeah, it felt very, it felt more like a pamphlet than it has done in previous years. It felt like a lot had been perhaps taken out.
Yeah.
And as you say, there was an awful lot of, it felt like finger wagging. You must do this, you must do that. Whereas the year before, there'd been an awful lot about aspirations, about cultural change. Things that you think, oh, this sounds interesting. This sounds like something that we could buy in on. But it was very, you must.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got that sense too, reading it.
Yeah, which is, again, it's that whole kind of changing the tone of voice to something which is quite regulatory. I know that sounds really weird when you talk about the FDA, but actually, I mean, they're doing an awful lot behind the scenes. We know to sort of talk to businesses about their experience at the moment and are learning, and that's can only be a good thing. So I want to say the regulator's in a strange position in that it is distant from the front line, and it needs businesses to tell it what's happening so that it can then form its policies and opinions based on that, not its own experience, because it doesn't have customers in the same way that the industry does. It's a completely different animal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it is learning from that, and that's really positive news. I wonder if it's kind of really sort of testing the metal, if you like, of the businesses that it regulates to show it that they can sustain this sort of onslaught and, yeah, you know, and competing priorities and being able to manage them all rather than say that you can. It feels like it's testing the ground almost to find out how good businesses are at being able to comply with everything. You know, but we would say there was nothing in there at all that made me think that businesses can take their foot off the pedal in any way, particularly around complaint handling. Just there was nothing at all. It was
no,
you know, and for me, I always think that all the stuff that we have talked about in the past, all the good stuff that you can do when you're handling complaints, are going to be more important than ever to implement and make sure that you're doing that whole thing about sort of keeping people regularly updated so they don't feel like they've fallen into a black hole. You know, simple stuff like that, which is going to be harder, particularly from an operational perspective, perhaps, to do when you've got people dotted around the place as opposed to in one office. But stuff like that, doing things like that, are going to be priceless, aren't they, from keeping your customer with you.
I think so. I think it's going to be tougher for businesses, you know, given everything they've got going on. But if you can make sure your compliance process is working as well as possible, you know, at some point the ombudsman is going to come in and start, you know, looking at complaints and making, I guess, decisions and stances on things that they've not seen before. So, you know, I know that businesses are kind of struggle with the fact that the FCA says one thing and then sometimes the FOS, it doesn't really marry up, doesn't mesh. But I think what you've got to remember is that the regulator is proactive. The ombudsman can only ever be reactive. Mm. It can only ever react to what it sees come through the door.
Yeah.
So if it can't then make stances up on things that it's not seeing. So I think bear that in mind. But if you are, you know, doing the best you can with your complaints, keeping people informed, training your staff up so they're doing the best they can and supporting them, then there's very little wiggle room for the ombo, I think, to come and say, well, you've mucked this up. If you tried your best to put it right, then it's hard to give them wiggle room to turn around and say, actually, nah, we're not liking this.
Yeah, and I think that's going to come into the form more once we get past this sort of the 3 months, you know, of like mortgage payment holidays and credit card holidays, and, you know, a month for sort of payday loans and stuff, then really it falls very much back in the lap, it feels to me, for businesses to be able to treat customers fairly that are in trouble, essentially. So I my suspicion is that there could be quite a lot of disagreement, lack of meeting of minds perhaps, around what businesses had to do because the regulator told them to do it, which is like, you know, this payment holiday side of things, versus the long-term sustainable arrangements that businesses might need to put in place to help customers who are either, you know, lacking of money or in debt, one of the two. And it's going to be quite a sizable chunk of people, isn't it?
It's going to be huge. I mean, you've only got to look at the way the economy is contracting.
Yeah.
The predictions that they're making across the globe, not just ours.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. And I think this is it, isn't it? It's going from the regulator saying you must do into businesses then deciding what they're going to do. And I think that's probably where the complaints are going to come from, if businesses are perceived not to be helping people in trouble as much as they can. Albeit you've got your own push and pull with your financial resilience and all your other bits that you need to comply with.
Mm.
But I think that's, you're right, I think that's where the complaints are going to come from.
Yeah, and it will be a combination of things, I suspect. It will be, you know, customers that are at the end of their tether because stuff's, you know, like all these arrangements are all coming to an end at the same time. So what happens? So you're going to get people that are anxious, that are going to be wanting answers before there are any answers to give them. There's going to be a bit of that going on, isn't there?
And
I always think you know, from an industry's perspective, we and I've said this before, we need to be very careful that aren't seen to be capitalising out of the situation, and the impact that has on frontline staff trying to implement stuff that's decided at a higher level that just does not sit right with the weight of public opinion.
That's it. I think there's going to be a real backlash, actually. I think you've only got to look at some very high-profile millionaires furloughing their staff and relying on the taxpayer rather than digging in their own pocket to realise there's going to be a backlash.
Yeah.
If you don't kind of get it right in terms of your support and your brand, I do believe that there are going to be a new type of complaint around not just your product, but the way your brand has behaved. So if they're a customer, they can still make a complaint about that. But we often used to see it at the Ombo, where people saying, "Well, I'm taking a stand on this." It may not have any legs in it. It may not get upheld, but you are still going to get charged £550 over that threshold, and it's going to cost you time, money, and resources to look into it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As an added kind of people are looking at how businesses treat their people. This is why we really majored, wasn't it, on you know, businesses needing actually to look after their staff really well, because there's a bit about what you're doing, but also what you're seen to be doing. And we're certainly getting a sense that the consumer population at large is eyeing up the credentials, if you like, of businesses based on how they seem to be treating their own staff. Anyone that's like ethically minded or feels that we're all in it together, it only takes one small thing to go wrong, and you know, put two and two together, and you'll get a complaint off the back of it. So this is the challenge. It's equally demanding priorities, one of which all feed off each other.
Yeah,
completely. In an environment where you've got to really pull out all the stops to do what the regulator's asking and expects of you, even.
Yeah, without wanting to ask for help, because you don't know where that leads if you're not abiding by the rules that you've been told that you've got to continue to abide by.
Yeah, you don't want to knock on the door, do you, in a visit?
No, it feels like you're putting your head above the parapet. I mean, I'm not for 1 minute saying that if you are struggling, you shouldn't. But I can understand and relate to the fear businesses feel in sort of putting their hand up and saying, we're struggling.
Well, we're all human beings. And as human beings, we don't like putting our hand up and asking for help, do we? So the fact that it's a business is no different, because you've got a bunch of human beings that are working in it.
Yeah.
That all have that emotional response to it. So, you know, I'm with you. I think it would be, again, if you're a business and you are really struggling with it, then you do need to tell the regulator so that you don't have kind of any retrospective action being taken.
Yeah. God forbid that you end up getting clobbered with a fine or something.
Yeah.
You didn't put your hand up when you should.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, you might be cutting it close to the knuckle in terms of financial resilience and levels that you need to abide by the FCA rules for. Mm. That could just tip you over the edge. But yeah, no, we get it. We can understand why you would be reluctant.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think for businesses, the main thing is to be able to ensure they've got enough people that have good enough knowledge that they can do a good job of handling customer complaints, that you've got a process that needs to be, it has to be flexible, doesn't it, at the moment. And I suspect you can't update your customers enough. I think it is my top tip for anyone listening today is, you think you've updated your customer enough, you probably need to do it probably twice as much as you are at the moment to keep people on side.
In fact, we blogged about this last week, didn't we? So we put some top tips in there, and it was communicate as much as you can. And our tip would be talk to your staff, talk to your frontline staff. What are they seeing a lot of? And then put that together in an FAQ and show that you're adapting to what's coming mm-hmm. through the door, and also helping your frontline staff. Because if they keep hearing the same thing time and time again, that eventually erodes your...
Oh, it's soul-destroying.
Yeah, it's not again, really? So, yeah. You know, listen to your staff, ask them what they're seeing, especially if they're working remotely. Because obviously you've got all this information sort of going into that one person and not sharing it. So we would really recommend checking in with them, keeping your FAQs up to date. Because if you can minimalise the amount of contact that a customer needs, you minimalise the likelihood of a complaint.
Yeah.
Really.
Good tip.
I thank you. So yeah, so we get how trying and complicated it is out there for you all. It's going to be tough, and I think it's going to continue to be tough for the foreseeable. As we say, I mean, the training we give is to help people do the best they can for complaints, but it is all about context at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm glad because I don't think there's anything wrong with us plugging our own stuff, is there?
I think
from my perspective, you know, we're very aware of how much is being placed on people's shoulders at the moment. And so our training is very much a bite-sized approach so that people can, you know, slot it into their day-to-day work without it having a significant impact on the operations of a business. And we've got loads coming out in terms of videos and our blogs as well. So if you haven't already signed up to get them and you're listening to this podcast by some magical means, then do, because we've got loads of stuff coming up this month which takes us right back to basics again on complaint handling for everyone. So stay tuned for that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And the free downloads as well. If you go back through our, we'll continue to share them. I think you can't, because otherwise they kind of get buried. But yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff, and we've sort of gone back to normal really, because we realised that actually the basics haven't stopped. So yeah, watch this space. So yeah, thank you for listening. That's it for today.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.